Children, you are dismissed to head back to Children's Chapel. Do you have your Bible this morning? If you'll take your Bible with me, we'll say our Bible decree. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. If you have your Bible, if you will, please turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I wonder how many people we turn off to the gospel by arguing about religious concepts rather than sharing the truth of Jesus Christ's love and mercy to save us from the wrath we deserve. I wonder how many of you got ready for church without so much as a thought of who you were coming to worship and why you were coming to church and what does worship and praise even look like to you. We're going to be reading in Mark chapter 2 verses 18 through chapter 3 verse 6, which highlights the difference between the religion and a relationship in three different encounters Jesus had with a group of Pharisees. There's all the difference in the world between religion and relationships. And I think it's probably one of the biggest controversial issues that we're facing today in America. Because I think what's happening is we're not experiencing the purity of the gospel and the purity of what that relationship looks like because of the expectations of what others think of what the model of the church looks like. So I'm going to be talking to you about three points to this morning's message. Point number one is religion creates confinement. Jesus brings celebration. Two, religion creates burdens. Jesus brings blessings. And then three, religion produces oppression and Jesus prizes others. But before we proceed, I would like to shine some light on your position in Christ on one of the greatest controversial issues on religion or relationship. This morning, I believe that many of us are always looking for more of an outward expression rather than an inward transformation. People expect you to have an outward expression rather than an inward transformation. Look how I perform. All of the Christianities of the do's and the don'ts and what people want you to look like and how you should dress and how you should walk and how you should talk and what does that look like? We walk into the church and we get the invisible scorecard. And the card says, did he use the proper influx? Was that his original text? Did he steal it from somebody else? Well, I'm here to tell all of you, church, I wish everything was original that I come up here and I speak about. But it's not. I'm grateful for the great men of God that are out there that encourage me to be able to walk in the ways of the Lord without feeling that pressure. You know, one of the things I was sharing with Eric last night at the spaghetti dinner, I said, Eric, you know, I love listening to pastors. And sometimes I'm very moved when I was talking to him and Jada. And I said, I'm moved sometimes by a pastor's message. And I will share those thoughts and those feelings from that message with the church only if I feel like the Lord's leading me to do such a thing. But you know, on that scorecard, it's one of those things where, you know, I've heard that before. Well, I'm going to mark him off. And I don't like his tie. I'm going to mark him off. I don't like his story. I heard that. That's not even significant for today. Well, I think it's because you have a pharisaical attitude. And you're going, but Pastor, I'm a little bit confused where you're going with this. And what are you doing? I said, well, I look at it this way. We have 10 laws that we were to abide by. Those are called the 10 Commandments. And the 10 Commandments, we have a very difficult time with. So let me just ask you a question. How many in this room would say, I've lied? Well, I'm sorry, but you just lied again. We didn't abide by one of the 10 Commandments. How many of you would say, well, you know, I don't have idol worship? Well, you just now lied, and you do have idol worship. It's been very, very difficult for many of us to say that we can uphold what the Ten Commandments are. And I know there's a difference between law and grace, but I'm only going to set this up for you because I want you to see really what it looks like when we look at what the Scriptures have to say in regard to law and grace, regard to a Pharisee, a Sadducee, or when we walk in the Spirit of the living God, which is Jesus Christ, who came in the form of man to give us life. So we look at the Pharisees, and many of you may not know this. We have to practice 10 rules. They practiced 613. 613. I'm already tired. And you're asking me the question, what does Christianity look like? Well, it's because, you know, we have these expectations, and the Pharisees had these expectations of Jesus. That's why they were always trying to trip Jesus up in Mark chapter 2. Because they're always saying, why are you doing this on the Sabbath? Why are you healing? Why are you working? What does all of this look like? And yet, you know, it says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. I want to read this real quick because I just feel the Lord's leading me this way. But anyhow, it says here in verse 25 of Matthew 23. And you can keep that up there if you want, but I'll just read this out loud. Woe unto you, scribes. Now, in the King James Version, we have what is called the red letter edition. Now, on your cue card, because if you have a pharisaical attitude, you can sit back and go, well, are you sure that was the red letter edition? You know, I'm serious. How many have ever had that argument with somebody? People have even asked me that stuff. I'm like, do we really care right now? All I know is I know Jesus was speaking, and he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and that's all I need to know. We make things so complex instead of simple. And for me, sometimes I just have to dumb things down for me to understand it. But this is pretty simple, because here's what it says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Exclamation point. For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, and within you are full of extortion and excess. Excess actually means self-indulgence. You're so full of yourself. And Jesus was trying to tell him, listen, I want you all to realize something. I'm more about the internal than I am the external. And if you get the external fixed up, if you get the internal fixed up, a lot of the external will change with all of that. But we can't do that unless we accept the open door where Jesus is standing there, and we walk into that. And then we start to change from our sinful ways. And then Jesus, that takes residence within our heart and our life, starts to manifest himself, and then it shines through our life. We get to see Jesus. I think sometimes many of us have a tendency to allow the perversion of others to poison our walk. You know, I was thinking about this message this morning, and God was giving me some thoughts, and I was actually, like, I'll picture myself doing stuff like, hey, can somebody just bring me up a chair just so I can sit here and have a talk with you? You know, because I sometimes feel the expectations of ministry are so difficult. Well, I know one of the greatest commandments is to love one another, as Christ has loved the church. So what does love look like, and how do we show that within our community? How do we even show that within our own spouse, within the people that we love so dearly? You know, and so I think that religion has a way to say, if you'll only do this. But I'm here to tell you, church, that I'm glad that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and because I can only grow in Jesus Christ when I come before Him and gain the knowledge that I need from Him. I once heard, just because you stand in a garage for 1 month doesn't make you a car, any more than coming to church and sitting in a pew doing what you're supposed to do makes you a Christian. Do I hear an amen up in there? So I think that many of us have to come to a place where we understand that, hey, here I am, Lord, just use me for what I am and who I am. We all want to be the best Christian possible. But we have to remember that the only way we can live our life in Christ is to, number one, understand the sovereignty and love that He has and accept Him to live within our heart and our mind and our soul, and to live that out. We're going to disappoint people. I'm going to disappoint people. The board is going to disappoint people. I have great expectations, but you know what? I know the Father has great expectations, and I know that I'm grateful for His grace that is bestowed upon me, that I get to have the opportunity to be able to serve Him and live my life for Him. That's just really being simple and really telling you my heart for what is religion versus a relationship. I remembered, you know, years ago when we were looking at, okay, what's starting the church going to look like? And we just want to love people. Didn't we say that, Leslie? And people will say,
well, you didn't love me the right way.
Well, I don't know how you wanted me to love you, but find that love from Jesus. The only person I'm going to show love to is my wife. I'm telling you all that right now in this church service. Amen. Come to Love Encounter this coming Friday night, and you will enjoy being challenged in your walk with your spouse. But, again, there are expectations. I want you to let down those expectations. I want our church to bring people to Jesus. I want the seats that are empty for people to say that when I was in a church, I missed something today. I know we have a tendency, and we have done this. Listen, we have browbeat people to the point they don't even want to step foot in a church. What kind of people are we? Who are we? I want to preach the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, because that's what He commanded us to do. And it says good news, not bad news. I want people to feel the Holy Spirit. I want people to know when they come to church that they can enjoy learning and gaining knowledge from the Word of God. And yet our testimony should really outlive that. But you came to church today, and again, because something didn't fit your agenda, you're now going to say, I'm shutting him out. I hated purple anyhow. Why did he even wear that shirt to church? And thank God we have the purple lovers down here, right? Right here in the front row. I want you to stop your Pharisaical attitude. I want you to have an attitude where you can say that Jesus didn't come to make us religious. He came to set us free. He came to give us joy. He came to give us life. And, you know, I was sharing with the men this morning. I said, you know, the only reason why I really enjoy serving the Lord is because I know where I've experienced Him at. I know where I've had an encounter with the living God. I know where I've met the Holy Spirit. I know where, you know, I've been able to celebrate Jesus, to receive His blessings, and to receive the reward that He's given me, because Jesus prizes others. Where religion produces oppression. And I want to run in freedom. I want to run in victory. And I want others to see that. I want people to know that, you know, that God sent Jesus, not for bondage, but to set us free. And you're never going to be set free until you learn to walk in the freedom that is offered to you through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this to you. You cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law, the don'ts and the do's. Works don't get you into heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should boast. We need to let go of the pride. We need to have a humble heart. God wants to use you. He wants to use you in your capacity where you're at. And He can't use you if all you do is have a card of criticism. Let it go. Transfer it. Let it go. Jesus was speaking on a level that was totally about, okay, wait a minute. You're telling me I can't, but my Father says I can. Did you just say I can't, and my God says I can? And when others tell you you can't, I want you to say, but I can through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. That's right. Come on, Patrick. We can do all things through Christ that gives us the strength. The only reason the law is actually there and the purpose of the law was to show your need for the Savior. We have laws that are in place. We want to live by those laws. And we want to understand the laws, but I think that when religion comes into place in our life, we don't have the freedom that we have in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, church, when I was a boy, I knew at 13 years of age after my baptism that the Holy Spirit started speaking to me to move. And I knew at 13 years of age and surrendered at 15 that I knew I needed to move. But I know that within life, there were certain things that I was coming on in my life. I was a teenager. I wanted to do all the other things that my siblings were doing. They were out there being cantankerous and ornery. I wanted to be cantankerous and ornery. The only problem with that was there was a law that was enforced, and that law ended up getting them in trouble. And there's consequences when you break the law. But what we have to understand is we can't focus on the law. We have to focus on the sovereignty and love of Christ and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to work within those parameters, but understand that when surrender truly comes, we all get to grow in Christ. Are you with me this morning? I will tell you this. John and Edwin, I've not even gotten to my message today. So see how that went, huh? But this is, I believe, the message that the Lord's laid on my heart today. And this will just be a segue into next week's message on religion versus relationship. Amen? Part two of the series that was never a series. I never wanted to be a pastor. You know why I didn't want to be a pastor? Because of the expectation that was put on me as a young man. And I remembered, you have to look this way, and you have to walk this way, and you have to talk this way. And, you know, Todd, if you don't do this, then you're ashamed to the people. You're ashamed to others. You're ashamed, you know, God doesn't honor that. You know, you must wear a tie and a suit jacket, and, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I was so tired of all the can'ts, I thought, how in the world am I ever going to do this? You have to make sure you have a three-point message. If you have a three-point message, then your point's going to get point across, and it's going to keep you on point. And I was so sick of the points, I don't even want to point my message anymore. How many of you have been a little sick and tired of being sick and tired of religion? I have been really sick and tired of what religion looks like. So I will tell you this, that coming into understanding what it looks like, and I will tell you, I was I was actually headed to a Bible college that was very, very strict. Strict on a whole nother level. Let me tell you how strict it was. I almost fell for Jesus right here in front of everybody. Even on campus, you couldn't even sit nor touch your girlfriend. Thank God everything's on point right here, right, today? Bible distance apart. They put more of an emphasis on the rules and the guidelines and the law than they did the freedom that I had. Listen, purity only comes from inside your heart. If you make those standards within yourself between you and God. Because there's always a dark corner. You can do anything you want. But as I taught my daughters, Jesus is everywhere and he sees you. And then he's going to tell Dad, and then I'm going to come after you and whomever else. Right? And I just kid. That was the chain of command. And then I said this. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You better not dishonor your mother. She will take you down. So I realized that within our relationship, going to a Bible college that was so strict, and I'm glad that God closed those doors. And then I was once told that, because you have Liberty University background, you have a very liberal background. You know what I love? That people have called me charismatic. Yeah, I'm charismatic. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm charismatic. And I'm okay. I'm confident that I'm charismatic. You see, because we couldn't use the word, ready? I'm going to whisper this. Pentecostal. If anything, look like Pentecostal. Walk like Pentecostal. Acted like Pentecostal. Talk like Pentecostal. You're not supposed to do it. Well, I'm here to tell you, church, I know what took place in Acts at the day of Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit moves, we're going to let the Holy Spirit move. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we need. Forget religion and have a relationship. When I was 15 years old and I surrendered to preach, I can tell you all this story. And within my own walk with Jesus, and for some of you that are in here and you say, you know, really, and I put Reese to sleep. That's great. Finally. But that's okay, because that was my whole point. You know, I woke him up during music, but now the baby's sleeping, and it's great. For all of you watching today, we have a little dude over here who's just as cute as can be. And I wasn't talking to Reese's cup, talking to name, and he's sound asleep. And anybody else sleeping, I will wake you up. Anyhow, I'm teasing. But I just wanted to share my heart today. Well, I guess God wanted me to. But having a relationship with Jesus Christ meant that everything that I did as a teenage boy would honor my Savior. And that's where, once I got a hold of that and I surrendered to God's will in my life, and as a teenager, I said, you know what? I just want to let go and let God have everything in my life. You know, and once I started doing that, I started seeing God do some great things. I started seeing people get saved, and I started seeing lives changed. And I was able to go to in the public school system. They would come and get me out of class and say, there's students up in the guidance counselor's office. Can you come and talk to them? And so I would go to the guidance counselor's office and I would talk to them. They'd come out transformed. You see, I didn't go in there saying you have to look like me, talk like me, act like me, dress like me. I walked in there and said, no, who you need to talk like, act like, walk like, and dress like is Jesus. They'd get saved and walk out of there different than how they walked into that office. You see, we all have a huge responsibility. And we have to be very careful that religion can become very, very toxic to people. You know, and for me, the only reason why I feel that this is such an important part of our life is because I heard Pastor Luke say something last week, which, Pastor Luke, you did a wonderful job on what the church looks like, the called out assembly. Amen. and what ministry looks like. But how many of you would say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? You know, and it's amazing in Joshua 24:15, when it says that, and it says, I choose this day whom I will serve. If you will choose this day whom you will serve, then God will bless that. I want you to look to the person next to you and say, I choose Jesus. Amen. Each and every one can choose Jesus. We were learning in class today, in the men's class, that righteousness with God comes by faith in Christ alone. In Christ alone. Christ plus nothing. Now, I'm only doing this. What am I doing? I'm kneeling and I'm praying, and yes. And many of you know that. Religion doesn't get you to heaven, only Jesus does. Again, you're going to say, wow, that was pretty bold. Yes, it is bold. Because at the end of the day and at the end of our life, I have a responsibility to God the Father. And in Hebrews, it says, I have to give an account for your soul. So I am here today to ask you an important question. Do you know the Jesus that I'm talking about, or have you only experienced the religion that I've been speaking about? I want you to open up your heart. I want you to open up your life, and I want you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Religion versus a relationship. We hear it all the time. It was funny as I was listening to the different pastors and preachers, and people were like, well, that's not biblically. I know, because you're arguing again, because that's all you ever do. No wonder nobody comes to your church and you have a podcast. You look on there and he's got 5 viewers. No wonder you have 5 viewers. You make Jesus look terrible. We've got to start bringing life to people and let them know that there's life in Christ. And if we don't do that, if we can't dig up some dirt and build a building, what are we telling everybody that drives up and down Southeast Avenue? Last week, I had a lady stop by after church, and she was bringing, I'm going to be closing, she's bringing Girl Scout cookies. And, you know, that the girl stopped by, and she's like, can I just say something? This property is so pretty. We love the way you guys have been changing. I live up the street here. And I said, well, that's wonderful. Where do you go to church? You want to know the Jesus I know? Listen, if they're going to compliment what we're doing, listen, if they're going to compliment the exterior, we need to make sure we're right on the interior. I need to have her come to church to experience. So I throw up my hands and I praise you again and again. That's right, because we're here to praise and worship him. People don't know Jesus driving up and down the street. They could say the church is pretty. They could say you look great, but they'll never know it until this. What did you just ask me? Pastor, I have prayer. I need prayer. Well, let's just stop right here, right now. Let's just pray. Let's pray. Let's not go,
well, this week I'm going to be adding you to my prayer list, and I will go to the Lord on your behalf.
That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stop right then, right there, and pray for that person. When people have asked me to pray, I've stopped right where I was at, and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray right here, right now. See, the Pharisees were all about, I'm going to pray so everybody can see me. I'm going to give so everybody can see me. I'm going to dress so everybody can see me. That is actually the life of a Pharisee and Sadducee in the scripture. That's why Jesus says, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And you know the Lord's Prayer. He says, do it in the quietness of your home, your room, wherever that space looks like. Well, I say all this to say that anyone who puts their faith in Jesus will truly receive the righteousness of God. And that looks like this: faith in Christ alone. Not on what it looks like on what we do, but how we worship Him and how we live our life for Him. So, you know, I started out with saying this. We need to focus on the external rather than the internal, right? Internal. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry. I meant to say we need to focus on the internal, not the external. Thank you. How many times have I told you this? For those that have the cue card out again, thanks for helping me out. I don't want to be despised of Jesus. I want to be loved of Jesus. And so I'm asking you today to do something. I'm asking you to clean up your heart, the secret place of your life. I'm asking you to clean up your heart, your mind, your soul. And as He works on the internal, people will start to see it on the external. I only know you by what I see. The world only knows us by what they see. And so, as difficult as it is to serve Jesus, pick up that cross and follow Him. And when the old chorus says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. And even though those that have the Pharisaical attitude and want to leave because I got a hard part and look like I had half of a mohawk, because they messed up my hair, I'm only here to tell you that's their problem. And you all think I'm joking? This is real life. Me just being real. So, God loves you, and He loves each and every one of us. And I want us to leave here today examining our hearts. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. What kind of woman, man, teenager, child are you? Are you a man of God? A woman of God? A child of God? How are you living your life? If the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, are you moving because of His prompting? Or are you arguing with Him and shutting Him down? I want you to let go and let God. If you've been in your life, if you've been saying, Pastor, I'm having a difficult time understanding who this Jesus is. Well, I will make it very simple for you. He gives life and He gives it to you abundantly. Try Him and you'll see you can run in freedom and victory and live a life full of Him if you'll just surrender to Him. If you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, today's your day of salvation. Today is the day where you say, Lord, here I am, use me. Now listen to me. You heard me say that I have to give an account for you. I do not, listen to me, church. I do not want to stand before the Lord. And He says, do you know Him? Do you know her? Because I swear they were in your church service. And you never offered them the gift of salvation. You never offered them the gift of my son. Well, I want you to receive Jesus Christ as a free gift. If you'll receive Him, then your life will start afresh and anew. The old Pharisaical religious spirit and attitude you once had, now you can walk in the freedom and newness of Christ that can be given to you and can be offered to you if you'll just do that. How about this? Letting go of all areas of your life. What does that look like? Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, physically, everything that you have, you give to God and say, "Here I am, God. It's all yours." What would that look like if we, you know, for some that have a difficult time giving 10%, as Malachi chapter 3 says, also says in the New Testament, God loves a cheerful giver. So we look at the text again, because again, the Pharisees were always keeping score. Look at me, I gave my 10%. But what about if we gave 90 and he kept 10? I don't like that, Pastor. That's making me very, very uncomfortable right now. I didn't ask you to give just a portion of your life. I asked you to give your all, because he gave his all for you. And once you give your all, it will change and transform you like you've never, ever, 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 ever felt or experienced before. I love to walk in Jesus. I love to run in Jesus. And I love that as for me and my house, I choose this day, I'm serving the Lord. I have the same temptations, strongholds that wants and entices me to quit as well. We all need each other as a community so we can keep keeping on for the Lord. Do I hear an amen in the room? Let's all rise to our feet as we pray. Father God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Father, we pray that you'll help us to change our life. And help us, Lord, in these elements today to focus more on the internal part of our life. God, you said in your word, which is one of my favorite verses, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." People see our works. That's fine and good. But God, the second part of that, the latter part of that says that you would be glorified. So Father, I glorify you for the building we're in, for the electric that we have, for the seats we get to sit on, for the cool air that blows in this building, for the dirt that's being moved around, for a building that's going to be built, for a space that we can use for children so that they can come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and that the church doors don't close because they're surrendering to preach at a young age. God, we have a great responsibility, and I pray that today, God, that you'll convict each and every one of us to examine our hearts and our lives, and ask ourselves the question, when was the last time I opened up the Bible, that I prayed, that I sought your face, not your hands, not what I can get, but Father, how do you feel about me? What's that relationship look like? God, I ask that you'll convict each and every one of us to move in that posture, to surrender. And as the old song says, all to Jesus I surrender, and all to him I freely give. Today, this altar call is open, not just for those that might need to come to you for salvation, to be saved from the place that they've been living in. But this altar call is open for those that might need to rededicate their life back to you. You said, if you accept me before man, I'll accept you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And Lord, that's not my words, that's your word. So if you're prompting somebody to move, Lord, I ask that they'll move right now in their space and come to the altar. That they will move, and if they feel the Holy Spirit is moving, that they'll bow their knee and they'll start their prayer right now before I even say amen. God, sometimes we think we have to move when the music starts, or again, sometimes there's all this pomp and circumstance instead of just us moving within the Spirit. So God, I want all of us to move within your Spirit and to do the work that, Lord, you're trying to use us. God, we are the body. So use this community to hear your voice, to know your prompting, and to move in that posture. And so, God, again, we love you and we ask that, Lord, you will right now start your work. Lord, you're working with people in this room. I sense it. I discern their spirit. God, I ask that you will just help us all to confess our sins, and to lay it before the altar of sacrifice. Lord, we all desire to have a relationship with you. So, Lord, we yearn for that intimacy with you. And we ask for that this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray.